Fiber is the new protein.
30 is the new 20.
Orange is the new black.
Bad Bunny is the new Tego Calderon.
Don't you ever disrespect Tego Calderon like that again. This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we take a weird hardline stance on Bad Bunny and Tego Calderon, even though no one asked for that feud. No one, one is the torchbearer to the next generation, and I think that's beautiful.
I wrote this specifically for you in mind because I know how much you love Tego Calderon.
I really do. I listen to a lot of reggaeton in like the, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s.
And
Like We Seen in Yandel.
Oh. Latino 96.3 was my number one radio. You know how they used to have radio stations programmed?
Oh, my God.
Latino 96.3 was my first one. Kiss 102.7 was my second. And then what was K-Rock?
106.7.
106.7. And what was 105.9?
So that was Power 106. Yeah, 105.9, but they 106.
I loved Power 106. Yeah. And then 94.7, The Way Yave. I don't want to get sued.
93.5. Five, was that K-Day?
I thought that was classic. Oh, 95.5 or 95.1 was 90, classical music.
93.1 was classic rock and 95.5 was 95.5 was classic rock.
Then what was it?
And then K-Day, I think, was 93.5. And that, they brought back 90s hip-hop. K-Day was, like, the big, like, 90s hip-hop station.
Really?
The big hip-hop station in the 90s. They brought it back in the 2010s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then all of radio died for podcasting.
Sorry, radio.
Sorry. I still really like the song Rakata.
Oh, my God.
Can't sing it.
I don't get me started. I was a reggaeton fiend. Okay.
And I think there were these producers called, like, Looney Tunes.
Yes, yes,
they were,
yes,
like,
yes.
Like, two teens from Dominican Republic.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, the simplicity of, like, a Looney Tunes beat. You know, they'd be like, Looney Tunes, you know?
Dude, it was incredible.
And everything was just...
I know.
You know.
Reggaeton music is truly a serotonin booster.
Yeah, and this all kind of like merges into what we're talking
it
about
today.
It does
not
that,
even a little
which
bit.
Which is that everything now seems worse and bad and everything in the past seems light and good. It's certainly not, not that in reality, but today we're going to be talking about looks maxing. That's why I got this fresh haircut.
Yeah, guys, everyone please comment how much you love Josh's haircut. Yeah. He has been looks maxing for the past, what, 5-7 years?
Yeah, I started bone smashing.
Oh,
not
cool.
Not bone break. Bone breaking was a style of dance.
I don't know about
that.
Do you
know what I'm talking about? Where they would contort their bodies. Contort their bodies. And it was kind of, that was when we were growing up too, you know, because
maybe that was
grew
more
up.
You thing.
Hey, Orange County, big dance.
Yeah,
hub.
We were into
we
jerking.
We had like Cabo Modern, and you were into jerking.
Not personally.
Yeah, yeah.
But the kids were cool.
Jerked.
To jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about protein maxing and fiber maxing, which is all because of looks maxing, because people want to be more attractive, because being attractive is higher currency than anything else at this current moment, which is very sad.
Allegedly, people say that. People say that. I don't know that that's. I don't know that that's true.
No,
there's
no,
studies.
Dude, it's. You don't think so? You don't think people care?
I think
the youth
does. People certainly care.
I think the youth cares a lot more. I think they care about the distance from their lips to their nose to their forehead.
Yep.
And stuff like that.
There's this really interesting phenomenon. I think I'm etymology nerd. Adam talks
about. I love etymology nerd.
Wonderful, but he talked about this interesting phenomenon where. The word chuggy, right?
I never use that.
No one uses the word chuggy. Like, the majority of people who use the term chuggy were not Gen Z young, cool people calling old people chuggy. It was, like, reporters on the news going, like, there's a new word in town. It's chuggy. And it's one of those things where, like, the reporting on it is what makes it. The story, and then 6-7, I think, kind of birthed from that.
Well, you can't talk about 6-7 without talking about Riz, Josh.
Well, no, but I think Riz, for sure, I think Riz was more of a, I think people have been using the term Riz more.
No,
but like
no.
6-7, I think 6-7 was like a deliberate trolling attempt.
Do you think so?
Because 6-7 never had like an intrinsic meaning. There was never like a real etymological base to it. It was kind of like the youth messing with people, right?
Okay.
Kind of like driving old people insane.
Interesting.
So like the idea of do young people actually care about their, what are they, canthal tilts?
Canthal tilts.
What is a canthal tilt?
I couldn't tell you. I have self-esteem. I don't know.
is it like one guy clavicular? God, I can't believe we just name dropped clavicular.
It's okay. The people should know.
If is it
talk about fiber maxing and protein maxing. We need to talk about looks maxing.
Because
it's
that is
natural.
Like where that is where maxing with a double X comes in. But
double X, triple X doesn't. It doesn't.
Double X, okay. Triple X is an awesome Vin Diesel movie from the early 2000s with Ozzy Argento and.
I never saw it. I'm sorry.
The guy, I'm not going to know his name. He plays a wonderful villain in a lot of stuff.
I'm sorry. I never watched Triple X.
You never watched Triple X? Oh,
no.
My God. Like Tony Hawk and Matt Hoffman right now.
Was it
Xander Cage?
Vampire adjacent?
No, but it kind of looked, the branding made it look like it was.
I always thought it was a vampire.
Because like Queen of the Damned had come out around that time. No, Triple X. And like Blade kind of had Blade.
Yeah, okay. So
like a Blade color palette.
I thought Blade and Triple X were the same
there
movie.
There should have Oh my God, there should have been a Blade Triple X crossover.
There's still time.
Where Vin Diesel as Xander Cage. They made a Triple X 2 with Ruby Rose and Neymar was in it. I think Neymar like...
Neymar's in the football
The footballer, yeah. I think he like bicycle kicked like a soccer ball bomb out of like a bar in a favela. I don't remember.
God.
But Xander Cage, Vin Diesel is an extreme sports athlete mm-hmm. who like uses extreme sports skills to...
Is that what Triple X is about?
Terrorist. Yeah.
Triple X is about a sports guy who became a...
Well, the FBI recruited him.
Oh.
So it was kind of like Point Break, except like
I never saw
way
Point Break.
More extreme. But same, you know, the idea of like a kind of the original Keanu Reeves is a surfer. And there's bank robbers that are surfers
Sounds
that are trying
exhausting.
To fund their summer of fun. But then this is the 2000s version of that. The point is the branding on the movie Triple X and the idea of protein maxing, looks maxing.
Yes.
And now fiber maxing is all the same, which is to say it signifies that it is extreme.
Of course, yes.
Right? And so a lot of this came up because I was talking to a wonderful writer at The New Yorker named Hannah Goldstein who wrote a wonderful piece about fiber maxing. Go check it out if you have a chance. But she and I were chatting and I was just endlessly fascinated.
By the world?
By this idea that like we should be consuming a fair amount of protein. Right?
I think we've talked about that enough here.
You don't need to eat a gram per pound of body weight, but like, yeah, it's probably good for muscle growth and in the longevity to prevent osteoporosis or whatever the hell. You know, yeah, get 60, 80 grams of protein. That's pretty good, right? It's great to consume fiber. 100%. America is chronically underfibered. As our resident fiber dad, Noah Gluten, said, fiber has the highest correlation to like negative all-cause mortality. So basically, the more fiber you eat, the longer you live.
Right.
That's a good thing. I'm not debating any of that. The maxing of it all.
The concept of maxing.
The
something.
Concept of maxing anything is bad. As Marion Nestle said, like, never has such an unhealthy society been so obsessed with the idea of health. The idea of maxing is antithetical to any idea
human
of
life.
Health, right? Like, the idea, the paradox of all this is that, like, living a balanced lifestyle in moderation is the only thing that's proven to work, you know? Like, the blue zones, these people are all just living normal. None of the Sardinian grandmothers who have active social lives, they weren't, like, fish maxing. They weren't stair maxing. They weren't social interaction maxing. They were just living a normal-ass life.
Yeah, that's a normal life.
To 100. The idea of maxing is so antithetical, I think, to any sort of, I don't know, fulfilling life.
I think Americans and just, it has a lot to do with youth culture. I think a lot of the youth is just very sedentary and they're kind of transmitting their new lives on screens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think them living for something to the highest potential is giving them a reason to continue.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound crazy, but I think with just everything being so accessible and everything being online at your fingertips, there's no desire to like push further, you know what I mean, or push past things. You just have to be able to do what's in front of you. And what's in front of you is looking beautiful.
Yeah.
And being and getting likes and comments, right? That you are beautiful, that you are attractive, that you're doing everything the way your idols are.
Yeah.
So it's really a difficult world to exist in.
I would agree with that.
And I do agree with you whenever you're talking about doing things to the maximum doesn't make sense. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
But I think that's all they're used to is living in extremes. You're either like a shut-in and you're on your computer and you're sitting down and you're waking up at noon and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're chasing or you're ascending. You're ascending to the highest form of beauty, highest form of symmetry. You know they care about facial symmetry now?
Wait, who's they? This is the thing I've been trying to practice. That's my point, though.
The internet.
Anytime I say, do you know what they're doing? The kids are bone smashing. They're bone smashing. I always ask myself, who's they? Do you think it is a large percentage of the population, or do you think
it's a vocal minority?
It's a TikTok that you saw of somebody saying that people are doing a thing.
Well, whenever kids, I'm going to say people that are 17, 18, 19 years old, are doing micro breaks in their face.
How many of them? There were a lot of kids doing a lot of weird shit when I was a kid.
Like, were they, like what?
The kids were doing, they were forming jackass-based stunt groups, and they were stealing shopping carts and rolling it down the damn freeway. They were throwing rocks.
You don't get it.
Off the overpass at cars.
These kids are...
They're hitting a Hyundai Elantra.
Some people are taking razors and slitting their eyes so they have hunter eyes. These are things that people are doing.
What do you mean, some people?
There are videos of kids doing this. There are videos of kids doing this.
We know the kids piercing their damn ears with the safety pins.
Yeah, I did that myself. It's still never been infected. Thanks, Rebecca Cohen. I love you, girl. If you're listening, I still love you to this day. Literally, she took a pin from her backpack and pierced my ear with hand sanitizer. Peach scented hand sanitizer.
That's so funny.
And it's my only piercing that's never been infected.
Well, I think we were during the emo generation. I mean, came out of the punk movement, of course, but like the idea of body modding, right? I knew kids that had the subdermal piercings.
You did?
Yeah, dude.
Again, we grew
up in subdermal like things on their collarbones and the ones
Like a star?
Just little bumps. I had a couple of them. Some people had them, little horns here, freaked the parents out.
What are you talking about?
Like subdermal.
Kids did this?
Yeah, man. Orange County is wild.
Who signed off on
wild stuff in Orange County? The band's Warped Tour was in full swing.
Who signed off on putting subdermals in children's heads?
Oh, I don't know, man. I couldn't tell you. But anyways, like, there would have been
who's they?
this is one kid. Like, you knew the weird kid. There's like the weird kid that's like
kid
you
saw.
Oh, it's like, oh my god, you see what Chris did? That's crazy.
Okay,
dude.
But you see Chris did that in his high school. Now there's Chris X472 that's doing it on a broadcast and it's getting liked and shared a million times.
This kid probably put it up on MySpace.
Okay, but MySpace versus TikTok, the speed at which this is traveling is insane. And of course it trickles down to us 30 somethings that are like, let's fiber max.
Yeah. that's our big extreme rebellion.
Exactly. Oh, we are at a higher chance for colorectal cancer than ever before. Let's shove chia seeds in our throats so we don't get cancer.
The kids are doing peptides and SARMs.
Dude,
and
have you heard about
and Tren and looks maxing, and so our 30-year-old asses are like, we're gonna eat chia seeds.
Yeah, we're gonna eat chia seeds, and we're gonna eat a protein per pound, which is not. I started doing that like before I got pregnant, and I enjoyed every moment of that.
Eating one gram of protein
per body weight,
per pound of body weight.
Oh my god, what an incredible hack that was!
What do you mean a hack?
I mean, it just made me feel better instead of like actually like being aware of what I was putting in my body instead of just like hoovering it all.
No, yeah, you know I think being a lot more mindful and conscious of what you put in your body, and I think that is probably the actual crux to all this
mindfulness
to any not even much just like kind of. Paying attention. If you put in a restriction on yourself and say, I'm only eating beef and salt. Shout out to Eddie Burback for doing RFK's carnivore
diet.
Did he do that? He did it for a month. And I think he only lost like 4 pounds.
Beef and kind of salt?
Felt,
that's it?
That's what the carnivore diet is.
No, there's got to be more stuff than beef and salt.
It depends what level of carnivore you are. He explains it in the video. Because some of the carnivore guys, eventually they're like, and you can eat raw goat yogurt and papaya. And they're like, what? Like, why papaya? I don't know. There's that one weird guy. But anyways, I think any of those diets work less about what you are consuming and more about what you're not, right?
Okay.
If you're trying to get a bunch of protein and trying to limit it within a calorie window, you're like probably not going to reach for a Twinkie because it doesn't have protein.
Sure. Yes.
Right. So it's not the fact that you're eating so much protein; it's that you're not eating the Twinkie.
Right.
Twinkies are just like bad. Right.
I think Twinkies are bad.
I think they're delicious.
But I don't think they're morally bad. But I do think
they're not morally bad. I'm saying like it's not a food that is going to make you feel good, other than the oral pleasure.
The moment
that,
you put in your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
God, they're like really. Have you had?
I haven't had.
Just like a classic Twinkie. It's not really, there's something about it, man.
Like in a good way or bad
way?
Yeah,
there's some like chemical, there's like a pheromone smell to a Twinkie that when it's in my mouth, it just, it makes me feel high. I feel like a gremlin.
That's how I am with their chocolate Hostess Ho-Hos.
Really? See, those do nothing for me, but a
vanilla
Twinkie.
Oh my God. Well, let me tell you, my mom used to buy Ho-Hos and then she would dole them out like it was a sweet little treat. And then if I was a good girl, I would get a Ho-Ho. When I was a bad girl, no Ho-Hos. Welcome to Deals and Hacks in the Kitchen, brought to you by Klarna, where two professional chefs teach you how to eat like it costs a fortune without it costing a fortune. Josh, what are some of your favorite money-saving kitchen hacks?
I'm so glad you asked because I've really doubled down on this one lately. But you know how they sell boneless, skinless chicken thighs? Well, they're way more expensive than bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs. And so I'm a man that's got a knife and 20 minutes to kill. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take the skin and the bones off myself. It's really good practice for your knife skills. And bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs, I think, are the cheapest meat they can possibly get. They're inexplicably always on sale. Buy one, get one free at my local grocery store. So for me, that's been my biggest money-saving hack.
Make sure you save the oyster for me. That's my favorite part of the chicken thigh.
It's the best part of chicken thigh. And if you get good enough with a boning knife, you figure out how to get that oyster clean out every single time. And boom, bones for soup.
Bones for soup.
I still don't know what to do with the chicken skins. I could just like fry them.
What do you mean? Get
snack.
Them crispy. Do a little chicken chicharrón.
I just don't know that I need to be eating a bunch of fried chicken skins all the
time.
What do
you mean? A little fried chicken skin as a treat on top of like a taco? Like
Chicken taco?
Oh,
that does sound
really chicken thigh taco with a little bit of crispy chicken.
Maybe that's
skin
like
on top?
A next year money saving hack. What's yours?
Hey, Josh, can you see what I'm doing over here?
I was wondering why you just had a brick of cheese at the podcast.
Well,
booth.
My favorite way to save money is I just buy blocks of cheese. And it's so much cheaper to buy the actual physical blocks instead of the shredded stuff in the bag. Yeah, of course. And, of course, it tastes a lot better, too, because there's not a bunch of cellulose and weird gums covering it, which is what you get with the bagged stuff. And you can customize the way you want it shredded. You can do a fine shred. You could do a thick shred. You could do slices. You could do blocks. You could do whatever you want with this
block. You ever shred it in a food processor?
Of course. That's my favorite way to shred cheese.
Do you have the shredder attachment or do you just rip it? It makes the long shreds.
No, I do I do it the long way.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's my favorite way. And it's such a good money-saving hack. You can get like massive, massive blocks and you can shred them yourself and you can freeze it, put it in little baggies and save it for later. It's my favorite thing to do.
Can I let you in on a little secret about my household?
I don't see why not.
We have pre-bagged cheese.
You're a pre-bagged cheese guy.
I will tell you what it is. If I was cooking for myself, I would only have blocks of cheese. But even then, I'm not really a block of cheese guy. Julia, though, my wife, she loves the convenience of a bag of cheese. We splurge a little bit. We get the nice cheese, the farm-style shreds, the biggins.
Oh, the thickums.
The thickums. And that changed the game on shredded cheese. But if I had it my way, I would be shredding my own bricks of cheese, especially like a Mott's.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm most likely to use a brick of cheese if I'm doing some sort of like baked pasta or eggplant parm.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and then that Mott's, when that's fresh shredded on top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that makes all the difference.
Yeah, I like the way it like spreads and melts more. Yeah, I think you get more coverage, you use less cheese.
But what my wife does during her lunch break, that's between her and God.
You know where I do like to splurge a little bit though? I like to get a nice loaf of bread from the farmer's market. Yeah. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. If it's nothing above, if it's like 10 bucks and lower, I'll always get it because a good loaf of bread, it's worth it.
I fully agree. It's spending money on bread. You know where I'm also doing it, though?
Wait.
Eggs.
Oh, eggs. Okay.
Here's the thing. The things that, like, mean a lot to you.
Sure.
You know, the things that you're eating every single day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. But money is all, it's all relative, right, in terms of value. What brings happiness and joy to your life?
Bread brings me joy.
Bread is about the about the happiest it'll be. You ever see like a mouse that's like scurrying away with like a large piece of cheese?
I haven't seen a mouse in a long time.
No? Oh, man, you should see the happiness that they have. That's about as happy as I get, too, with just a big old $12 loaf of bread from the farmer's market.
Right.
I support that entirely, Nicole.
Right.
Klarna is your smarter everyday money partner. It's basically the money version of a great kitchen hack. Simple, fair, and it does the work so you don't have to. Because ultimately, the best hacks, well, Nicole, those are the ones that take zero effort.
With Klarna, it's your money on your side. That's Klarna, K-L-A-R-N-A.
And I like to eat cheese, C-H-E-E-S-E, cheese.
I'll shave you some more. Say when.
Ta-ta-ta-ta. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Have you started implementing a little bit more fiber into your diet since people have been talking about fiber maxing?
No, it's really interesting. Really? It's really interesting because...
But aren't you someone who... I think you're someone who acknowledges trends in food.
Yes.
And I think you like to sample them here and there to see 100%. if it adds to your life.
100%. No, I've been eating a pretty similar diet for the last, like, maybe 7-8 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it is generally based on 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight.
Right.
That's because I've been, like, I've been lifting heavier recently. Ooh. And I've been gaining weight because I quit vaping.
Mazel
but
tov.
I've been, like,
big deal.
Yeah. No. That feels good. But also, like, yeah, the nicotine is an appetite suppressant. Really.
It works.
Appetite suppressant and oral fixation suppressant.
Oh, it works.
Really, really helps. And so yeah. I started gaining weight, and I'm like, well, my belief is in the gym, if you are gaining weight, don't try and lose it, honey. Use it. Don't lose the weight. Use the weight. If you're bigger.
Mass moves mass.
If you're bigger, you can bench bigger. And so I'm like, cool, let's start repping 225 on incline now. And so I've been like, the more protein I eat, I've always balanced it with fiber because one.
Already.
Yeah. So for me, it's so funny because all this like protein maxing, fiber maxing, like you said, a lot of the kids, they're into these very extremes that for me, I got a lot of that extreme messaging like in the gym from mm-hmm. a young age, mm-hmm. right? Including like weird politically extreme messaging. Mm-hmm. I tried to explain to somebody how every gym is libertarian. And they didn't understand, but I stand by that. They're either libertarian or super, super far left, black bloc, Antifa. Those are the two kinds of gyms that exist.
It really?
Yeah.
Every
CrossFit gym is libertarian.
Oh, I haven't.
There's like three that are. If they have the pride flag, the one for progress, the new one,
the one with the circle somewhere.
Yeah, then they're not libertarian.
Oh, okay.
But this is a fact.
I just go to Pilates studios on ClassPass and like bar studios, and I don't even know what their affiliation is.
Center left.
Oh, yeah.
Center left leaning towards Trader Joe's Republican.
All I know is that the color palette is really neutral. Really. There's not a single like fuchsia anything anywhere.
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, they're all earth tones. But, yeah. But no, my general uh-huh. point mm-hmm. was that like, I understand going to extremes in terms of, like, diet and stuff. But for me, I used to have the excuse of, like, well, I was training for sports.
Yeah.
You know? And then now I have no excuse for that. I just train to an extreme level because I'm mentally ill.
No,
and I need to, like, calm the negative thoughts down.
I also think, you know, you're on the internet a lot and you're front-facing talent. So I'm sure that has an effect on you whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the fact that you are very, you've always been athletic.
Aww.
It's always been a part of. No,
you too, man.
It's not true. It's not true at all. But you've always been athletic, so it's just part of who mm-hmm. you are. And also, you work out a lot. You work out like 2 hours, 3 hours.
Feels good.
A day.
That's where I research on my last meals guest too, and I listen to all my new hardcore music.
Oh my god, that's great.
I'm listening to a lot of Weapon X. They did a crossover album with World of Pleasure called Weapon of Pleasure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
got a song
mm-hmm.
called Domination 3. It's incredible.
And
better than Domination 1 and 2. Can we talk about looks maxing real quick?
What do you want to talk about?
We had looks maxers.
What?
We had looks maxers. We had incel
we had?
Looks. We, us, when we were in our young 20s, we had young incel looks maxers, and I know we had them because the main one killed several people and then died in the driveway of my old college apartment.
What are you talking about?
Do we not know this? Have I never shared this?
Oh, my gosh.
Elliot Roger, UC Santa Barbara.
The Isla Vista murders.
The Isla Vista murders.
We're going to talk about this.
Oh, no. This is a matter of history.
Uh-huh.
No, Elliot Roger, he was a went on a killing spree, and he, like, was part of that
community.
Incel looks maxing culture. He had all these vlog manifestos of him being like, I'm so beautiful. Who wouldn't date me? Sitting in like a BMW drinking Starbucks. It was really weird.
I never saw those. I only saw clips.
I went down the rabbit hole because I would have been on Isla Vista during that shooting spree had I not transferred schools about a month before.
Crazy.
Like, he literally crashed into my roommate's, the driveway. And like, my buddy took the photo that ended up on the cover of the New York Times.
Wild.
Like, really, really scary times that like really, you know, affected me and people I love.
Of course.
But that's why, like, I don't know, all of this mentality from the looks maxing that bleeds into the protein maxing that trickles down into the fiber maxing. It's just like the only solution is like to smash your phone with a hammer and then.
Yeah.
Don't smash your bones with a hammer. Smash your phone with a hammer.
I agree.
Go outside.
Go outside.
Join
touch grass.
Kickball league.
Listen to this while you touch grass.
You know?
No, I totally
agree.
Join
a dodgeball league, Logan.
Yeah, join a dodgeball league.
Join a dodgeball league, you know?
Not to be.
It's back from the early 2000s.
I mean, not to be preachy and stuff, because honestly,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
As someone who loves to scroll, I was not forced, but I was cajoled into being part of a book club. My mental health has skyrocketed. It has been so much better for me to not be on my freaking phone all the time and not be inundated. Because I was getting, funny enough, I actually got a lot of fiber stuff on my phone.
Really?
And it was like really like graphic language.
Oh, they're all talking about like, you need to blow shit out your asshole. Like it's stuff like that.
That stuff. Yeah, and I'm like, why? Why am I listening?
Blowout Dinners is a series.
And it's beautifully shot. I understand the premise of it. It's so people can start incorporating fiber into their diets and all that stuff, and soluble, insoluble, whatever. But I was like, why is such graphic, like intense colored visuals and this intense vocabulary like on my screen right now?
Why is Mr. Beast chucking Lamborghinis into volcanic pits?
It's because
just the natural escalation.
It's an escalation.
You need to compete for attention.
And it's so insane. Yeah.
So even now, like
internal
the idea,
showers and stuff like that or whatever it's called. It's just this weird language of extremity, and it just, whenever you just put your phone down and just like breathe in and out and you go and you do something to better yourself, it is incredible the transition your like brain and body goes through.
I love fiber. Like it's like legitimately the foods that have the
most
fiber.
But you're not a fiber maxer.
No, I'm not. No, you don't max anything.
But you
balance,
were a protein,
be a fiber balancer.
But you were a protein maxer.
I wasn't a protein maxer. I was a competitive athlete and a heavy lifter 6 days a week. And I still lift heavy as a hobby, right? And that's something that I enjoy. But it's not a protein. But we didn't use the term protein maxer. It was, you know, like the studies indicated that this is what to do to maximize muscle growth under intense duress, right? That's the thing. It's like, you know, Julia now, the fact that she's inundated with you need to have a gram of protein per pound of body weight, which doesn't even make sense because it's 0.721 grams per pound of lean body tissue because your fat and bones don't need protein like that.
You know, it's just
muscle too. Doing Pilates 2-3 times a week, you probably don't need that. You have different dietary needs.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
No,
versus
I agree.
Like really getting under a squat bar.
Sure. Yeah.
I just start squatting. Mostly single leg stuff. But
what'd you
say? My back's been feeling healthier than ever.
Hey, that's massive.
I gave a kid Olympic lifting tips in the gym. And
a
I was
kid?
Able to, yeah, yeah.
That's
17
nice.
Year old.
That's nice.
Yeah, I taught him how to take the slack out the bar. So I saw they were like, you know, they're kind of like gripping and ripping. And I was like, it's a great instinct. They're great at the catch point.
So
I was like, here's how you really engage those lats from the first phase.
So you never were like one of those people that was like, I need to eat protein all of the time and it needs to be my entire, because I'm going to disagree with you.
Please.
Like when I was like seeing you and your like progression into like becoming more of like a personality.
Yeah,
I'll say.
No. I noticed
that like the way that you eat and how you eat changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I thought you were like almost carb phobic.
No, I was.
Like
I was.
You were allergic
I,
to carbohydrates, which is also.
I
the
went
time
through a period
I'm,
here where I was like really had an unhealthy relationship with food because I had an unhealthy relationship with my sense of self and especially how myself was being consumed.
Sure, yeah.
100%. They're all so related.
Yeah, it was also during the time when I was also very carb phobic because my doctor told me that I shouldn't eat carbs anymore.
Yeah, that was crazy. But also your doctor was telling you like.
But also worked.
Yeah, starving yourself works.
I didn't starve myself. No, I ate a lot. To be fair, I ate a lot, but I just wasn't.
Your doctor also told you that like don't eat almonds because they're bad for you.
No, she said an almond is equal to a workout class.
God damn. And God. Can I say something?
No, you've been saying something this whole time.
Say something.
No, but I will say that I felt like your entire life was protein. It was gym tan laundry. But it was
so
protein.
Much, yeah.
It was a protein workout haircut.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
That was like your whole
was
thing.
Was that pre-Julia,
like,
post-Julia, mid-Julia?
When did you and Julia get engaged?
The engaged was like 2021. But there was like a specific six-month period where I was like single. Where I was like, I was doing two-a-day workouts. I wasn't eating
We weren't
like
that
any...
close of friends at that point. You were just coworkers at that point.
Fair point.
Whenever you and Julia linked up, I think maybe a year afterwards, you were like, it was almost like you were like, I need to get into high gear. And I'm like, you're in high gear 24/7. What are you doing?
A lot of it was my response to COVID too. I got down to
really skinny during COVID?
I got to 187 pounds. I'm probably like 220 now.
Mm.
I hadn't been 187 pounds since I was like 10 years old. Like legitimately, but for me, it was my, that like orthorexia, that extreme control was my rebelling against a chaotic world, which I think so much ties into this. The thing I was going to say earlier is like, being on camera, terrible for your self-esteem, right? Do you feel that way?
As someone with, honestly, my whole life, I've had really high self-esteem.
Yeah.
From like my parents always telling me that, like, know your self-worth.
Sure.
My brother and sister always like shoving that in my brain, like, you're doing good. You're a good person, whatever. I think it does damage you a little bit
because
you're vulnerable and open to everyone, and literally the masses can say whatever they want about you.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it can be about your looks or how you appear, and especially as a woman, it can be really hard. But also I just tell myself, like, hey, at least they're watching.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But in terms of, like, if I were to do a large-scale study and argue whether or not being on camera and sharing your image with potentially millions of strangers is good or bad for self-esteem, I think it'd be bad. I think it would net out as bad.
But what else are we supposed to do?
Well, no, for us, this is, no, for real. Like, this is what I believe. Like, this is a life we've chosen, and I'm glad. I think we've got
to. It's been 7 years, and I've been enjoying every second of it.
Same. Not every second, but I've been enjoying a lot of seconds.
I mean, when I look at it, I've been enjoying it.
I've been enjoying the whole totality of it. And I'm very grateful for it. And I love that we get to spread, I don't know, things that I think are important and,
like,
and
this,
things are fascinating like this. But the fact that now everyone is expected to create everyone's expected to create content. That's crazy. Mm. If you're like in high school, people are telling you to like work on your personal, let's clarify terms. If you are a high schooler right now, college admissions counselors are likely to tell you that you should have a personal brand and you should manicure your social media because college admissions people are going to look at it. That's crazy. And that's aside from the social element.
That's another thing to add to your brain whenever you're already a teen going into college. That's,
I know.
Crazy.
When I would, back when I was scrolling on social media, because I really deleted it all from my
phone.
Good
for you. I can't wait to
but
do that.
I would get like a random clip. I would get a random clip of like a 12-year-old playing basketball, and you would make a shot and you would celebrate. Random 12-year-old uploading just his own basketball game. Mm-hmm. And there would be, randomly it would have 10 million views, and there would be tens of thousands of comments. People being like, if you celebrated like that, you'd be kicked off my team, you little piece of shit. And then just like, imagine being 12, sharing a clip. We had social media, right? I mean, not when we were 12, but like 14, 15, MySpace. Mm-hmm. And you upload, hey, I had a basketball game. I won. I wanted to tell my friends on MySpace. Nobody else could have seen it. Just limited to your friend group. And now you're rocketed to just millions of abusive strangers.
Abusive strangers.
And then that combining into, you know, pressure on what your actual looks are, and then perfection in terms of diet and exercise, and it's wild.
It's really hard.
I know. I weep for the children, just as our parents weep for us, because we're rolling down hills in shopping carts and getting gauges and snake bites.
I never did that. Well, I did threaten my mom I was going to get an eyebrow piercing, and she said if I do that, I wouldn't be your daughter anymore. But she wasn't being serious. She was just bluffing. All in all, I think the concept of maxing anything is bad.
Yeah. It's.
I think blank maxing is bad. How about you just, I'm eating more fiber now.
Yeah. It's funny that like the opposite side of the spectrum of fiber maxing is like, eat some veggies, champ. Make a bowl of beans.
And I like
you
that.
You know what I mean? It's the same. It can look the same in terms of what you're actually consuming. But the way you call one fiber maxing and one, I ate a cheeky little bowl of beans today. You know, I think they really signify different attitudes, and I think it's important.
Some
frijoles. I made frijoles borrachos the other day.
And did you tell yourself, I'm fiber maxing?
No, man. And I didn't do it for the fiber. I did it because I
loved you love beans.
I love damn beans, man.
I know. It's just we're living in a world of extremes, and it's exhausting as we're doing it as what, 34?
Yeah, 34. What are you?
34. I think I'm 33. I'm 33.
Yeah. You forget how old you are once you get
into your 30s. You're 30, you don't care.
Yeah, 30 you remember. 31 you kind of remember, and then from there it's so hazy.
It's all a blur. But no, I do weep for the children, and I think they're gonna have a tough time. But you know what? You know, if you have some psyllium husk, it won't be so hard.
It really won't be hard. It'll be soft. Wait, can I tell you what? I had one more thought.
Of course,
that
I thought about earlier
about hope for the future and the kids and all that. Talking about my single period, right?
Oh yeah, you were wild and out. Josh would tell me about his escapades.
Not like in detail. Like
No. He would just be like, I went out with a girl.
I went out with a girl once. Sue me.
Three, four, five, six times. It was always really interesting stories. I do really appreciate that time.
But I Tinder scared the hell out of me for a very specific reason. I couldn't tell, and this would have been 2019 Tinder. I couldn't tell who was real and who was fake.
Because
Tinder was loosey-goosey, so it would be like, someone would be like, you know, wearing a ski mask and be like, want to be anonymous, but here's me. And I was like, oh, crazy. I couldn't tell what was a bot, what was somebody who was trying to catfish you, if somebody was going to rob you. And I was just like, no, man. And
then
would go on Bumble or Hinge and they were, you know, more
reliable.
More legit. But anyways, that general fear of, I can't tell who's real and what's real. I'm going to just back away from this because it sucks. I really hope that happens in social media as more AI content starts flooding it.
Well, you know,
because I'm already like less impressed with certain. I was watching like a skateboarding video, and I was just like, "Dude, the hands are messed up." The guy, that's just an AI video of a guy doing a trick that doesn't exist.
I'm gonna tell you something. In the next 4 months, it is not going to be discernible what is AI and
which
what is
why I'm hoping that. It devalues everything. I'm fine with it devaluing real content, right? Because all of these things that are like problems, and they are, right, with like AI and disinformation, whatever, all of it just relies on the fact that you're staring at a little screen for like hours a day. If you just
put it down.
Tyler, the Creator, man, what do you mean cyberbullying? Turn your phone off. I believe it now. I'm here. Smash your phone with a hammer. Stop watching this video. Go outside.
Stop smashing your zygomatic bone.
Is that what it is?
Smash this.
Smash a bowl of beans.
Also smash some beans. And smash that subscribe button while you're at it.
As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with YearUp United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree, but you have a high school diploma or GED, you can get skills-first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses.
From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with YearUp United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice.
So apply to YearUp United today and take the first step towards achieving the career you want. Visit yearup.org to learn more.
Did you see that story about the pop star who rented out an entire amusement park just for a casual Tuesday afternoon date? It sounds fun, but for those of us without a stadium tour budget, making our money work for us takes a little bit more strategy. That's exactly where Klarna comes in.
Klarna is your smarter, everyday money partner, and they operate on a simple principle. Money should work with people, not against them. They completely eliminate the usual financial chaos by putting your flexible payment options, automatic cashback, and reliable customer support all in one place.
When you use Klarna, you realize that being good with money isn't about being restrictive. It's about choosing tools that are actually good to you. It's smart because it's fair, and you can just breathe easy knowing your money is handled. It really is money on your side.
Download the Klarna app or head to Klarna.com. That's K-L-A-R-N-A.com, Klarna. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points, limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
I love traveling, but I always feel self-conscious when I can't speak the local language fluently. If you want to stop hesitating and start speaking with real confidence, you need to check out the brand new Rosetta Stone Sapphire app. This is their biggest launch in over a decade, combining their classic, research-backed immersion method with incredible new features. Forget boring grammar drills. You learn naturally through immersive visuals and audio, picking up the language intuitively. They just introduced chat missions, which completely changes the game by turning conversation practice into an interactive experience. You get dropped into everyday scenarios, like checking into a hotel or making dinner reservations, and complete specific goals while receiving instant supportive feedback. It gives you the real-world practice you need without any of the anxiety. And let me tell you, you don't need any extra anxiety. At least I don't. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. A Hot Dog is a Sandwich listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/hotdog to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/hotdog. We've all had those chaotic weeknights where dinner needs to happen now, but you open the fridge to find zero protein on hand. Story of my life. I used to gamble on last-minute grocery runs, only to end up with bland, overpriced meat or spoiled leftovers. That all changed when I stocked up my freezer with Omaha Steaks. It's like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at home. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting its craft through meticulous aging and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Last week, I seared up their ribeye burgers, and the flavor, oh my gosh, and the tenderness beat any steakhouse burger I've had without the steakhouse prices. Beyond incredible steaks and juicy burgers, they've got chicken, seafood, sides, and desserts ready to go whenever you need them. If you've never tried them, their Burger Perfection Flight is the ultimate way to start. You get 20, yes, 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin for just $79.99. Try their Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code HOTDOG. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code HOTDOG for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Hi, Nana and Nicole. How did you do? How did you to say now it's time to find out whether a whack-headed rat out of the universe now caught in a safe way to go opinion like a casserole now.
Please do that again, but do it better.
All right, Nicole, I've heard what you and I had to say. Now it's time to find out where the wacky opinions are rattling out the end of December. The segment we call...
I bet you that I guess rolls.
Rushed through it, huh?
Yeah.
Are you rushing?
I really did. I'm dragging.
J.K. Simmons, yellow M&M.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, but what if I told you...
Do you have to do research on that?
Yeah, I did not know that J.K. Simmons was the voice of the yellow M&M until I did my tremendously in-depth research for Last Meals and then found out he was. And then we got him to say, oh, are you rushing or are you dragging as the yellow M&M? And
you really have to watch Oz. You really have to watch
Oz. I know.
Oz.
I've only seen the clips.
Oh,
man.
The clips don't do it
man,
justice.
Man, man.
It's a beautiful anthology, and it's disgusting and sad and gritty. I love it.
It kicked off Prestige TV.
Yes,
huh?
It did. Yes, it did, and that's why I watched it.
Still never seen season one of The Wire.
I need to watch The Wire. That's what I have to do.
I want to finish The Westies. That's J.K. Simmons' new show where he plays like an Irish mobster. Mm. And he lived in New York while this gang is a real Irish gang known for their drunkenness and brutality. Mm. But, well, anyways.
Hey, Josh, Nicole, Greg in Philadelphia. Love the show. Oh, and hello, potentially esteemed guest.
Go birds. No esteemed guest, just us.
I don't
Logan's
know if
it's a hot take. This is more just something that like I've followed throughout my life, interestingly. So when I was really little, like 6, 7 years old, I used to just dump table salt in my palm and lick it.
Lick what?
Like
what?
So dump table
like
salt
delight,
in his palm.
Got an
then a few years later, I realized you could do the same with like spice blends, like Cajun seasoning or lemon pepper or even that like, you know, Greek souvlaki kind of seasoning. I would do that as a little delight.
Dude, seasoning maxing.
And I never told anyone. I was super embarrassed by it.
Aw, sweetie.
I almost feel like I was like sneaking drugs before I knew
no.
And then I saw Michael Bauer write about doing that in the San Francisco Chronicle.
The crazy Michael Bauer poll in the year of our Lord 2026.
I'm like, did anyone else out there do that? And it's not for health reasons, like caloric restriction or anything. Just, again, pure delight. Licking table salt or table seasonings. And your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
That's funny.
Okay, so I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast. When I was younger, I had a next door neighbor named Usha who before every day in school, she would give me a spoonful of ghee because she said it was good for my brain. And I'm like, oh, cool, awesome. And I really wanted to be a smart kid. I'm like, I want to be a smart kid. I want to be the best student. I want to impress my Stop laughing, Logan.
No, it's very funny, though.
What? She wanted me to be smart. She'd be like, here, it's good for your...
How often were you just getting Smoothles
like,
butter?
Like twice a week.
Okay.
Twice a week. You know. Like, because her son would go to school, and then I would also go to school, too, and then we would both line up, and she'd be like, boop, boop, and we'd be like, okay.
That's like a thing. Like, your brain, right? Your brain disproportionately runs on fat.
I don't know. I feel like that's a thing. I don't know. But she would basically spoon feed me ghee, and she would get, like, really, really special ghee from, like, India or something. Like, it was, like, from, like, Indian cows that were blessed or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be so smart if I just have a spoonful of ghee. And then I didn't have any ghee in my house. I had olive oil. So one time I think I had about 14 tablespoons of olive oil in a day. And I threw up all over my parents' leather couch.
It's a greasy throw up.
I threw up all over their leather couch. And then I'm like, and I told my parents what I did and why I did it. And they're like, please don't ever do that again. You don't need to do that to be smart. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I remember once being at, like, a Denny's, and I don't know if I couldn't afford food, but I just remember eating all the free saltines. And
getting up and leaving afterwards?
Well, yeah. But also, I was a child, but I remember thinking that the saltines, I was like, the salt is the best part of this, and there was table salt there. And I said, if a little bit of salt is good, I bet a lot of bit of salt is awesome. And I like, mounded probably a full teaspoon of salt on a saltine cracker. And I ate it, and I remember, like, the rush of intense salt pain, you know? So I think that may have prevented me from just licking table salt off my hands. But I see the instinct. I think, though, I would be less in it for the seasoning and more in it for the vessel. I think the vessel and the seasoning, even if it is something that – what cucumber, Logan Moffitt, you know? Logan Moffitt, cucumber guy.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I think you also might have a sodium deficiency.
And that could be it. Well, I don't know, but everyone enjoys soda. Everyone enjoys a nice little seasoning blend, right? Look a little Tony Sashery's off your end.
A little Licatoni's.
Like, remember, like, all the Mexican candies would just be like a little stick.
I love Mexican candy.
You dip it in the, like, Lucas powder. You know what I mean? That's the same thing. You're just eating
nuclear it's sour.
Powder. But he's talking about, you know, souffle. Eating souvlaki seasoning.
You think that's sour?
That's almost the same thing as...
Tamarindo?
As like tamarindo powder. You know what I mean?
Get out of here.
I think he's just sort of found his own version of it.
When you were having...
Mrs. Dash.
When you were having a tablespoon of salt, was your brother ripping half and half shots?
Yeah, he was.
Me and your brother need to talk about our love of half and half shots.
Yeah. Have you ever talked to him? You talked to him about it?
No, but I will. Should I message him? I'll text him.
Yeah, text him, because he used to do that.
I'll text him right now.
I hope you still do it, but also, like, maybe dip a cucumber in it. You don't have to. Some, like, plain popcorn. There was the people were doing the ice. They were seasoning ice and eating it. And that was very ED coded. That was very ED coded.
That's very, very odd. Just eat.
Eating disorder, not erectile dysfunction.
That would also be really bad.
Yeah, for that.
Imagine if eating ice with seasoning helped your ED.
Well, putting your... Never mind.
Shut up! Shut up, Josh!
Has to be cold.
Shut up, Josh! What has to be cold? What?
For fertility.
Oh.
You have to keep them cold.
Oh, yeah, you can't go in a hot tub.
Yeah.
You
gotta dip them.
You gotta dip them in ice water.
Dip them. Dip in a Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Fertility maxing. We'll talk about that next time.
Fert maxing out here?
Fert maxing.
I'm dipping my bean bags in a blizzard.
I was fert maxing. It worked.
It worked.
I heard you like to rip open.
You can play the next one. She's texting my brother.
Half and half shots.
Hey, Nicole, Josh, potential guest, and especially the crew. This is Nick from Lynchburg, Virginia. And I was calling to see y'all's opinions about cutting boards. Nicole, I think there was an episode in Mythical Kitchen where you said that you don't use wooden cutting boards because you said that they're unsanitary.
The short version is
University of Wisconsin did a study where they, I believe it was E. coli, they used E. coli on wooden and plastic cutting boards, cleaned them with soap and water, and then found that there was still bacteria on the plastic cutting board. But not the wooden ones, because the wood had absorbed and killed the bacteria. Mm. So just wanted to get y'all's opinion about that. And Nicole, especially, does this change your mind at all? Love everything you guys do.
Let me tell you, Nick, I say stuff and then I forget I say it. And I do stuff and I forget I do it. Mm. But I will say this. I've been using wood cutting boards for about 15 years. So, use that information as you will.
It's crazy. Here's the thing. Sometimes you just say stuff, you know what I mean? It's not good for our credibility or the credibility.
I wonder what possessed me to say that.
Yeah, no, that happens.
What possessed me to say that?
I don't know.
Like, man. What? I'm using glass? Who uses a glass cutting board?
Like plastic.
I was.
Nice
I know. I no.
Microplastic maxing. Plastic maxing.
Oh, my God. You know?
I go back and forth. I have wood cutting boards that I like. I have a big ass plastic one that is kind of just like less unwieldy and easier to clean. I think the biggest thing is like any cutting board that you like clean well, right? Like that's kind of the key here. I know like really good restaurants that use just like big ass butcher blocks, and I know really good restaurants that use the color coded plastic cutting boards. You know, like there's multiple ways to skin a cat. You know, whatever cutting board feels good to you. That's what I believe. My big pet peeve is cutting boards that slip and slide around, because I think those are so dangerous.
Oh my God, Josh hates that. He literally, whenever you have a cooking segment, he lifts up the cutting board to make sure that there is a little paper towel
I go
on the bottom.
Like cutting board's here, I go, and I make sure it's not slipping.
Yeah, and honestly,
because when you're chopping, like that's the thing, like you're chopping and the cutting board slips and your fingers are changing positions.
Yes.
Yeah, the thing with, like, I think that's my biggest fear with cutting board. I feel pretty comfortable about my attitudes towards cross-contamination. You know, I've never given me or anybody I love foodborne illness. You know?
I have, knock on wood.
You know, and I'm
knock on wood, I say.
Knock on wood. You know, I don't play it, you know, that fast and loose, but you know, faster and looser than some, I think. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but like, I don't know, man. I used to smoke cigarettes and I, you know, performed dangerous athletic maneuvers. Like Olympic lifting is not safe. I enjoy doing it. I like holding heavy things above my head. I like mango flavored nicotine. Sue me. Sometimes I don't.
Please don't start smoking again or vaping.
No,
it's
I just
not
can't
cool.
stop thinking about it. It's bad for you, but I'm saying sometimes people do things that are bad for them.
Hi, I'm Nixie, and I need Nicole to get really specific, like right now, about how you made the bulldog chicken fingers.
Okay.
I have never in my life needed to consume something so immediately.
I got you.
I'm literally begging you. Okay, love you. Bye.
I love you.
Begging you.
That was really good.
I feel like
honestly,
I
your
it.
Voice has improved.
Yeah, I think I've been taking lessons.
No, you haven't. You've just been singing around.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, yeah. So I took chicken tenders and then I marinated them in a little bit of buttermilk. And then I put the bulldog spicy seasoning and the seasoning, like not the seasoning, the sauce. And I put that in the buttermilk. And then I combined flour and crushed up ramen. I did not cook the ramen. And I let that sit in the batter for a long time, like maybe like an hour or two, okay? And then I lifted it up and I fried it at like 375 until it was beautifully crisp. And then I took sesame seeds, furikake, some stuff like that, and then a seasoning pack, and then I just put it all over. And that's it. It's really, really easy. You got this. Make it and send me a picture.
I'm looking up the video.
The bulldog ramen.
Yeah, it looks good, man.
Thanks, man. Damn. You didn't even see it. You're looking at an ad. You're a liar.
I saw it in the thumbnail.
Why did you lie
to
me?
It's on the thumbnail.
Right, but you lied. I don't know, but you didn't see it in action.
I saw it. I'm looking.
Got to be a better liar if you're going to be a liar.
All right. Oh, it's warped. It's warp time.
I just warp.
On that note, thank you so much for stopping by our Heart Darger's Discerned Rich. We got new episodes for you every Wednesday. It's out on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to be featured on Opinions on Casseroles, give us a ring and leave us a quick message at 833-DOG-POD-1. And for more Mythical Kitchen, check out our other videos. We launch new episodes every week. We will see you next time. Josh, are you watching?
I'm watching YouTube Shorts.
Oh, I know exactly what you're watching. The jacket potato guy?
I don't think so.
Is it a jacket potato, and is he going to put things in there, like beans and tuna?
This has like 200 million views, dude. This is crazy. What's going on?
Is he going to put food on the... Is he going to put... Oh,
is that Patrick? Is that my guy, Patrick Zanon?
Yeah, he's going to put food on the chips.
He'll put food on the damn chip. See you guys. Bye.
Bye. Why does it feel like healthy snacking always has to taste so incredibly bad. You do not compromise in any other area of your life, so you definitely shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to your food. That's why you need to try Bavarian Meats Zero Sugar Meat Sticks. Seriously, the absolute number one feature here is great taste, zero sugar.
They completely eliminate the trade-off between nutrition and indulgence. These snack sticks are macro-friendly, guilt-free, and perfectly support an active, high-performance lifestyle by delivering 9 grams of protein per serving, zero sugar, and zero carbs. Great flavor takes time, which is why Bavarian meats are slow-smoked and naturally fermented using only real ingredients.
They are the ultimate portable solution for your daily snack cravings, allowing you to hit your nutrition goals while enjoying an amazing savory treat wherever you are.
Pick up a pack today at your local grocer or stock up at BavarianMeats.com/podcast. Use code HOTDOG10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Bavarian meat snack sticks. Great taste. Zero sugar.